All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to American Vindicta. We have on with us today Pastor David Langford, a voice of evangelism. We were just talking in the pre-briefing about what we were going to go over today, and I was telling Pastor David that about 5 days ago, I was driving to the store, and I'd been in prayer intensely back and forth, and I've drifted far away from politics because it's poison to the soul to get that involved in politics. And as I'm driving, I'm listening to some of my political shows that give actual intelligence information. And I heard audibly, which is very rare for this to happen, and I'm sure it's happened to some of you guys, but I heard audibly as if someone was right behind me, this is a season for war. And I almost wrecked my excursion. And so for the last 5 days, I've been thinking about this every hour of the day. This is a season for war. And then, Pastor, every day, it's something new about war. Sweden saying get ready for war. Germany saying get ready for war with Russia. You have Ukraine and Russia that are still currently at war. Poland wants to go to war with Russia. You have France, who's about to go through civil war, America, who looks like it's about to go through civil war and is waging wars in multiple countries, Israel and Hamas and every other country that wants to come against Israel. You have multiple wars that are quietly happening right now in Africa that's not being talked about. It's called World War Africa right now. And so, and China's quiet. So I wanted to talk with you today. Is this a season for war?
I believe it is. I have felt the urgency in my spirit. Jing, if he's going to make his move on Taiwan, you have to believe he will do that before the election, because if Trump were to go back in, I think that would deter Xi Jinping from doing that. And Taiwan just elected another president, and he says he's going to fight China. And of course, the Bible says in Matthew 24:6, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. You just gave a litany of the proclivity of war, how the so many people are talking it. Well, Jesus said you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. That stirs my heart, because that's literally being fulfilled right now. That's not hypothetical. That's not conjecture. That is a reality. But what's even more stunning than that, he said, you're going to hear of these things, but the end is not yet. This may disturb some people, Doug, but if we went into a third world war, that will not be the end. Jesus said that's the way it's going to be. And then you have all of these other events that will follow war. And then through that, you will have the revelation of the Antichrist. And he will be that purported man of peace. He comes in peaceably. Says he comes into the fattest places of the land there in Daniel. That word fattest in the Hebrew says oily. Well, that tells you it's got something to do with the Arab nations of the Middle East. Only makes common sense to me. That's where all the oil is, per se. So we're headed in that direction. And as you well said, the opportunity for preparing is pretty much over for the most part. Because I've said this for 2 years now, if we get into a confrontation with China, there'll be no more container ships coming to America, and it will create untold heartache. Now, on September the 24th, during Rosh Hashanah, the Lord gave me a word just like you. I heard this standing there in the mirror on Thursday morning getting ready to shave, America is about to become hamstrung. And when I heard that, I had read this passage in 2 Samuel chapter 8, and allow me to read that here. 2 Samuel chapter 8, beginning at verse 1, after this it came to pass that David smote the Philistines and subdued them. And David took Methegamah out of the hand of the Philistines. He also smote Moab and measured them with a line, casting them down to the ground, even with two lines measured he, to put to death with one full line and to keep alive. And so the Moabites became David's servants and bought gifts. David smote also Hadadezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah, as he went to recover his border at the river Euphrates. And David took from him 1,000 chariots and 700 horsemen and 20,000 footmen. And David huffed all the chariot horses, but reserved of them for 100 chariots. That word huffed there in the Hebrew is hamstrung. And so David took 900 of those horses and he cut their hamstring so they became inoperable. They could no longer be used for war or pulling chariots. They could be used for a plow or something of that nature. But I had studied this passage 2 years prior to God giving me that word. And there's a lot in this. The word Methegama is a two-part word, and it means mother city. That spoke to me about Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. is the mother city of America. And this is where our government, from the Defense Department to the Department of Justice, et cetera, all of this operates out of the mother city. When you study the word hamstring, it means you're unable to have access to your resources. It can happen through outside pressure afflicting you where you're cut off, like cutting the hamstring, then you become inoperable. But there's also some other things here that I found were very profound. David drew two lines. God draws lines in the sand. One line was for those who were going to live. The other line was for those who were going to die. And David measured those lines. So when God gets ready to mete out judgment, he told John in Revelation 11 to measure the temple. Why? It's not a measurement for building. It is a measurement for judgment. And so this is what David was doing. Now, how he done that exactly, it doesn't say. Just know we know he drew full lines, and he put one faction here. All of these were going to die. All of these were going to live. But notice this. David also smote Hadadezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah, as he went to recover his border at the river Euphrates. I saw that as America trying to recover our southern border, but somehow it got intercepted and we couldn't do it. So the king was trying to save himself to get back to the border where David couldn't get him. So David cut him off so he couldn't get there. God could allow something to happen in America to cut off our ability to stop our border from being overrun. And then last but not least, it says David huffed the horses. And that word huffed in the Hebrew means to cut the hamstring. So he made those horses inoperable. And I believe we're coming to a place in America where things are going to become inoperable or hamstrung. You've seen an athlete running on a football field and he pulled a hamstring. He pulls up. He can't run. He's incapacitated. No, he's not dead. No, he's not life-threatening, but he can't function any longer. He's hamstrung. And when the Lord spoke that to my heart, Thursday morning, September the 21st, America is about to become hamstrung. I went to this passage because I had read it several years ago and it spoke to my heart because I'd never heard the term what huffed mean. And again, in the English, it would be to cut the hamstring and make the horses inoperable. So you know, God in his sovereignty can allow something to happen in America that we become hamstrung and we can't do what we need to do. What you're saying, we're at the precipice where preparation may be done with. Well, then you know what's going to happen? There are going to be those who are hamstrung.
You know, right now we have WEF and WHO who are saying, be prepared for disease X, some other pandemic or plandemic, however you want to play on those words. You have all these economies that, to include China and ours, that are teetering on collapsing. And what will it be replaced with? A digital prison system. Because anything digital has to do with tracking and monitoring. We know this from intelligence. That's what it does. Everything is leading to what these elites and these Hollywood directors and their movies are talking about currently. Civil War in America, World War III. There's three movies right now about World War III. There's multiple movies that are out. One is actually about to come out about the grid down. One's either from a CME from the sun or through terrorism actions. But yet we have had our grid attacked over the last 3 years severely. Luckily, not that severe, but still these attacks were severe. And it seems to me I told my wife this last night, maybe I was up too late drinking coffee, but when you look at 9/11 and you see how the 9/11 hijackers by design through the CIA did what they did, funded, and they were already here in the United States. They didn't come from Afghanistan. They didn't come from Saudi Arabia. They were already here. Gaddafi even talked about that and joked about it. Your hijackers are from New York. You see how everything leads to the Middle East. All these wars are leading to the Middle East, and they're leading to us going to war with Russia, Iran, China, and then Middle Eastern states, which keeps going back to Psalm 83, Ezekiel 38, the battles that'll happen in Armageddon. These major countries, to include Turkey, these major countries are always involved in some sort of calamity and more or less wars in the Bible, in the Old Testament. And it's like we keep going in this direction, but yet if the border was that big of a problem, if the cartel was that big of a problem, if fentanyl was that big of a problem, which they are, it's killing millions of people by the cartel and the open border, then we would set the military on it and lock up the border. If our economy was that bad, then we wouldn't give $100+ billion a year away to all these other countries, let alone the $100 billion alone to Ukraine, which is on the bounds of creating mutually assured destruction with Russia. What I'm saying is, if we really wanted peace and safety, then we would actually invoke peace and safety by our fruits and our actions. But that's not what our politicians do. And you said D.C. a while ago. I throw up in my mouth every time I think about Washington, D.C., because they're not what our founding fathers were. They do not represent the people, and they're irrelevant in their positions at this point as self-appointed leaders by the people. They're irrelevant. They are self-aggrandizing, self-appointed leaders. And what they represent is their only ability to stay in power and control and money. That's what it's always about, power, control, and money. I was reading in Micah, chapter 3, rulers denounced. And I said, "Hear now, heads of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know and administer justice? You who hate good and love evil, who tear the skin off my people and their flesh from their bones. You who eat the flesh of my people, strip off their skin from them, break their bones, and chop them in pieces as for the pot, like meat in the kettle." That's pretty graphic. That's pretty graphic, but that is exactly what ISIS did. And guess who created ISIS? We did.
Yes.
"Then they will cry to the Lord, but he will not answer them." This is what I fear many times for America. They will cry out to the Lord and he will not answer them. Instead, he will even hide his face from them at that time, withholding his mercy. because they have practiced and tolerated and ignored evil. I was telling my children the other day, because we were doing Bible study and this is what we were studying over. And I said, the thing that I want you kids to realize is exactly what was right here, that we will not practice evil. We will not tolerate evil, and we will not ignore evil in this house. We won't be like other houses. And as it goes on in verse 5, thus says the Lord concerning the false prophets who lead my people astray. When they have something good to bite with their teeth, they call out peace. But against the one who gives them nothing to eat, they declare a holy war. Therefore, it will be night, a tragedy for you without vision, and darkness, a cataclysm for you without foresight. The sun shall go down on the false prophets, and the day shall become dark and black over them. The seers shall be ashamed, and the diviners discredited and embarrassed. Indeed, they shall cover their mouths in shame, because there is no answer from God. When I read this, I have to go back and just think over and over and over again. We're going to be cut off. We're not going to have power. We're going to cry out for the Lord. And people are going to deteriorate mentally to the point that they're eating each other. Lamentations. How many different times do we have to read this in the Old Testament and know it, and then to ignore it? Just like I said, ignoring evil acts, practicing evil acts, and tolerating evil acts. America, Donald Trump, as much as I do like the man and his politics to an extent, he's funny, but he's not going to save us. And we have to literally obliterate our actions as Christians. It's the house of the Lord that gets judged first. We have to completely stop what we're doing in order to be an example for anybody. But I see it very rarely anymore, Pastor.
Well, you know, we look at our nation, we look at our leadership, we look at the perpetual failures of our leadership, and you ask, why is all of this happening? It is because we're becoming more godless. The more you take God out of a country, out of a nation, out of its government, what is going to fill that? Evil, Satan, his minions, his cohorts, his emissaries are going to fill those voids and vacuities. I heard Nikki Haley make the statement the other day, and it disturbed me so bad because it's a falsehood. She said, Donald Trump, chaos follows him everywhere he goes. And see, that statement is easy to be reconciled and agree with. But if you look at it through the lens of the Holy Spirit and have discernment, who brought Crossfire Hurricane? The FBI. Who brought two false impeachments? The Democrats. The Mueller report. Now he's in court every day. The enemy's doing this, but it makes it look like Trump is the chaos candidate. But he's not doing anything to create this. It's out their will to kill, distill, and destroy. So when she made that statement superficially on the surface, oh, yeah, he has chaos. It's all around him. But he's not instigating it. He's not doing it. Just like suing him for fraud when all the banks were paid, and all the lenders got their money back. Everybody made money. So who got defrauded? See, it's a sham. It's a circus. And so she takes his circumstances and act as though he's the one doing it. What you come to understand very quickly, they're all politicians, thus they're all liars. What you just read there in Micah chapter 3, God is blaming all of Israel's problems on their leaders, whether it's the priest, the prophets, the pastors, or those in government authority. They're all bringing this on the people. See, trash flows downstream. And because our nation has become so godless, look what's happening to us. You know, prayer was taken out of the school in 1963. I was 8 years old. I knew nothing about that. But what that's done now, we've had 60 years now of an element of godliness removed from the school. Now look at all the schools. Look at the, you know, when I was in school, we throwed spit balls, we slammed the rocker doors, you know, we done stuff like that. Nobody brought guns to school and shot each other and all of this stuff. What's happened? We've taken God out, and Satan has filled the void, and we wonder why we're in this calamity. We wonder why we're in this crisis. David said there in Psalms 37, 21, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again. Our government knows full well they're not going to repay this $34 trillion. So they're wicked, because the Bible says the wicked borroweth and payeth not again. So everything about our government is wicked. I mean, I hate to be that negative. I hate to sound that cynical, but these people are evil as hell. They're all liars. They're dishonest. They're fornicators. They are adulterers. They shack up. They lie. They're sodomites. They're venal. They can be bribed. And we look at it. We say, why is our nation in such disarray? It's because sin is exploding. It is exploding. I mean, think about Biden's platform for re-election. Hates MAGA. MAGA is just an acronym. Make America great. What's wrong with that? His platform is MAGA. His platform is same-sex marriage. His platform is transgenderism. His platform is an open border. His platform is abortion. And there's nothing there that's good. Yet there'll be people, and I'm going to say this, there'll be people that claim to be Christians and will vote for that. That's evil in itself. How do you cast your lot with that evil and say, but I'm a Christian, I believe in righteousness? It's impossible.
You can't be yoked up with that. You will be a goat.
And you'll be put on the left hand and be sentenced to everlasting destruction and from the presence of God. And this, you know, the Lord has really dealt with me the last decade and a half about biblical accuracy and honesty. You know, what you just said is so true. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. How can you say you love God, but you cast your lot with abortion, transgenderism, all these operations to alter these children's bodies? How is that normal? It's not. It's insane. How can you say you're a Christian? Any praying man, any praying woman knows that's not right. Yet they embrace it. It's okay. You know, yeah. God is a God of love. Don't judge nobody. I get so tired of it, man.
You know, going back to Micah 3, you were speaking about the leaders. And verse 8 of Micah 3, but in fact, I am filled with power. And before that says, because they shame themselves because they say there's no God. It says, but in fact, I am filled with power, with the spirit of the Lord and with justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Now hear this, you heads of the house of Jacob and the rulers of the house of Israel. When you read that, you have to understand that God is specifically targeting a group of people, of politicians, of leaders, and he's bundling them together, and he's addressing their sins, and then he's addressing the sin of the nation. So he's addressing two things at once. That means nobody escapes that. There's nobody perfect. You were all found in iniquity of some kind. It says the rulers of the house of Israel, who hate and reject justice and twist everything that is straight, who build Zion with blood and extortion and murder, and Jerusalem with violent injustice. Now, I don't want to tone the bell too hard, but hello, America, that's you. We've built the last probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 generations of our empire of America on blood and extortion, blood money and extortion. Why do you think we pay all this money to all these nations? Because we care? Because we're philanthropists? No, it's so we can go there and do what we want in their nation. They shut up and look the other way. Been there, done that for the nation already. What we have to understand is that every time you cast your vote, I mean, if you told the average Democratic voter, do you approve of Hunter Biden? And they say no. Great. Glad. Every time you vote for a Democrat, that's what you're voting for. Because that behavior is multiplied throughout the Democratic Party. And it actually gets worse. It actually gets worse. Wait for the Epstein list to drop and the Black Swan events to start dropping. And it seems to be, Pastor, that if we were going to get serious about taking this nation back, we should have done it about 100 years ago. Not now.
I agree. The problem is, and I say this with humility and respect, the nature of a Christian is somewhat passive. You know, don't be confrontational. Don't wage war. Don't get in people's faces. Bear the fruit of the Spirit of Christ. But the psalmist asked a question in Psalms 94:16: who will rise up for me against the evildoers, or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Somebody has to stand up. I'm a preacher. I preach hard against sin because I see everything that's happening to this nation is based on sinning. People are sinning. People are lying. People are cheating. They're committing adultery. I thought the other day when Hunter Biden walked into the congressional halls and the chaos that all of a sudden began, Democrat chaos, and there were words thrown out to and fro, he gets up and walks out, catches another plane, flies to L.A. He's in court the next morning, on Wednesday morning in L.A. Look at the taxpayer money for the Secret Service, the jets, the aircraft. We are funding criminality like never before. You know, John McCain, you know, I begin to, and I'm not a political guy, but I begin to observe, why was there so much interest for years in Ukraine? They were going over there laundering money and doing things and using Ukraine as the place. I'm convinced of this. I couldn't prove it. Money has gone to Ukraine and come back to the Democratic Party merely laundered. That's all it was. They laundered it, it come back. Because why is there such an interest in doing this for Ukraine? There's something more than just their border. What about our borders? See, none of this makes common sense reasoning. You're like, you're worried about their border, but you could care less about our border. I read this week where the state of Maine is setting aside millions of dollars for paying the apartment rent for illegal immigrants. These people contribute nothing to this nation, yet they take your and my tax dollars and house them for 2 years. Hey, give me free housing for 2 years. I've lived here. I was born here. I've paid taxes since I was 12 years old when I went to work at a place called Mount Morn Community Store for 50 cents an hour. I take that back. When I turned 14, he said, you got to go get your worker's permit. Then they started taking taxes out. I'm 69 years old. So that's 55 years I've been paying taxes. And if I don't pay my taxes, then they'll confiscate my property or whatever. These people have no property. They have nothing. And we're paying for all of this. That shows me how terribly overly taxed you and I are as homeowners, as vehicle owners. We're terribly overtaxed if we can give this kind of money away. Give us a 30, 40% tax break on our county taxes, our property taxes. Why? You're giving it away. But they're creating another world through foreigners, through illegal immigrants. And this is by design. Anybody knows it's by design if they got any common sense at all. You got the Governor Abbott doing things to stop it. And then the Justice Department of this administration sues him to stop him from doing the right thing. That's a house divided. And Jesus said, if it's divided, it's not going to stand. We're going to collapse. The question is, when? When will the collapse take place? I've always said the destruction of America will take place in the fall of the year. That's when Israel went into Babylonian captivity in the fall of the year. That's when Babylon in Daniel chapter 5 under Belshazzar, when Darius, the Medo-Persian Empire, came in and took down him. That was the end of the Babylonian reigning. It was in the fall of the year. History said it was October the 12th, 539 BC. If that happened in the fall of the year, and that was the end of Israel's captivity, the 70 years, that meant they went into captivity in the fall of the year. Jeremiah 8:20, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. What season follows the harvest? Fall of the year. So I've always believed the stock market collapsed in the fall of the year. Flavius Josephus said he believed the Noahic flood took place in the fall of the year. The fall of the year is not a good time. Bad stuff happens in the fall of the year. So I've always said I believe the most devastating part of it will be in the fall of the year.
And that's the October surprise. This may be the last
period of time we have before the fall comes and it's ugly.
Yeah, that's the October surprise. That's yes. always talked about. And then the votes go on in November.
Yes, that's fall of the year. Yeah. You know, Catherine Heritage, she was once with Fox. Now she's with CBS. She's the one about two Sunday mornings ago. She said, I look for a black swan event, meaning it's an event that's once in a lifetime. Now, these people ain't fringe people. They're right there in the mainstream, man. But even people that have just a little bit of common sense knows this can't continue on. You know, the fact that we now have 50 million people in America that were never born here, the system cannot handle the strain. I mean, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 million people come into the country since Biden took over. How do you compensate that for schools, nursery, infrastructure, hospitals, ambulances, fire stations? How do you compensate for that? Well, you can't. You have to, as you grow, you expand. You cannot bring in this many people without profuse expansion. And it's why we're being overrun. And this was the prophecy. Let me turn to that in Isaiah chapter 1. What Isaiah prophesied, we're seeing happen right now. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 7. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. Strangers are overthrowing our nation. They're overtaking our nation, and they're being paid to do it. Housing, food, places to live, health care, plane tickets, bus tickets. They're being shipped out all over America on our money. This shows you how insane America has become in its leadership. And that's one of the curses in Deuteronomy chapter 28. He said, I'll send madness to you. Mad, crazy.
Yeah. So refugees as a weapon. This is an actual tactic. This is the definition of refugees as a weapon from MIT. It is a term used to describe a hostile government organizing or threatening to organize a sudden influx of refugees into another country or political entity with the intent of causing political disturbances in that entity. Now, in Texas, Dave Hodges and I were musing about the numbers the other day, and we have 10,000 people a day that's documented coming into Texas. So when I used to work for Homeland Security and I'd go on the border operations, the way the Border Patrol brothers would tell me is that for every one that we catch, times it by three that we didn't. So wow. if we get 10,000 people a day documented, then potentially it was 30,000 people that day undocumented.
Oh, okay.
10,000 people a day per month is 300,000 people a month. 300,000 people a month. If you do times that by three, 900,000 people a month come into just Texas. That's almost 1 million people a month. And I worked in those borders. We did the catching and shipping people off into these immigration houses, the soft side of facilities. And from there, you have NGOs who will come and pick them up, give them bus tickets and plane tickets, and they're gone. You have no idea where they went. But part of Deuteronomy also talks about disease.
Absolutely.
So part of that is that Ebola takes 40 days to be in full-blown infection. By the time you're caught on the border, put in a soft side facility, you're documented, and then they give you your logistical whatevers to send you off. That's maybe a week. Maybe a week, and then that rack that they were sleeping in is now empty and a new body sits in it. And they go all over the nation. Most of the time, those people go to places where the cartel and the Chinese have factories where they take these people and they work off their debts in slave factories. Here in America, there's thousands of them, thousands of them. So wherever they go to, should they be carrying some sort of disease, some viral agent, it can spread from Texas to Maine, from Texas to Alaska, to anywhere in less than 30 days. So could you imagine 1 month we get 20 million people cross the border, let's just say, and you have no idea what they're experiencing in these immigration encampment areas that are in Mexico, but they're all very tightly compacted. So it's a big petri dish. And it doesn't take much for someone to say, you know, if I was a bad person, that's where I would insert the biological agent. Well, 2017, 2018, we're working on the border. And I've told the story many times, but I don't think I ever told you this, Pastor. We had an intelligence from our agents that was given to us, and it was from Iran. And Iran said that their goal was to one day get a young jihadi into Juarez, Mexico, through the tunnels into Texas, into El Paso, with some sort of a biological agent that will kill, I think the word was 300,000 people. That was the goal. And we knew it then, and there's no way to stop it. There's no way to stop that one guy. If something was going to happen, the borders where it's going to come from, most likely come from. But our borders being dissolved, that's another judgment, right?
Yes.
It's reminiscent to me that we are completely deteriorating. This is another thing that's been on my heart, is the word deteriorate. Our nation is deteriorating, Pastor, and you can see it happening faster and faster as we go along. Yes. And I think, you know, before October, at least when I work for the government, everything needs to be done by September. All your receipts, all your plans and all this crap has to be filed by September because it's a new fiscal year. Right. And then everything starts back over in October. So October, the fall, this is the time we need to be paying attention to.
That's the Feast of Atonement, and that's when they have those 10 days that they pray and they fast, they seek God, because they believe, the Jewish people believe, God's going to put on the robes of a judge and judge them at the end. And they'll say to one another in the walk in the streets, may the verdict be good for you, meaning God's going to pass judgment, and may it be pleasant and pleasing and not severe on your life. And that's always in the fall of the year. The feast days never change. Some years, Rosh Hashanah is in September or in October. Some years, I don't celebrate Easter. I celebrate the resurrection. But some years it's in March. Some years it's in April. The reason that changes is because on the Hebrew calendar, you have to add a leap month every 2.7 years. It's called the Adar. It falls between the last month and the first month of the Jewish calendar, the Adar and Nisan. Or Adar and Nisan, and you have the leap month, the Adar. And so that's why it changes. But see, all of those feasts are cyclic, but they're in certain times of the year when the year is different. See, it floods in the spring. You know, I was in Israel in 2006, and they had an unbelievable flood. We couldn't go to the Qumran Caves. That's where we were going that day. Said, you can't go. Flooded out. Well, in Revelation chapter 12, the flood comes out to consume Israel, and the earth opens up and swallows the flood so she can be saved. Well, my interpretation of Bible prophecy, the Great Tribulation begins in the spring of the year. So if the Great Tribulation is 3.5 years, and that's what I teach, 3 years from the spring puts you back in the spring, Passover. Add 6 months, that moves you to the fall of the year. Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of Tabernacles. That's the coming of the Lord. He descends from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. That's Feast of Trumpets. Then the next feast is Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus comes, he fulfills Revelation 21:3. God himself shall tabernacle with men. See, all of these things aren't just by coincidence, happenstance. It's by divine design. And our objective is to learn these things. So Paul says to the church of Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5:1, but of the times and of the seasons, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with a child. But brethren, you're not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. So Paul said, I don't need to write to you concerning the times. You know, because of the Jewish calendar and the feast. So it's happening. Sadly, our nation is going sideways at breakneck speed. And you take the nominal preacher, the nominal church is not warning the people. Ezekiel 3:17, son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the words at my mouth and give them warning from me. Every messenger of God should be warning, warning, warning. It's like the idiot light on the dashboard. You don't have coolant. You don't have fluid. It's running hot. We're running hot, and something's going to happen, brother.
What and how does the head of the household, do the men, how do they prepare for these times? I have done many teachings on the warrior priest mindset, which comes from the Bible.
Absolutely.
And yet, and it's few understand, but also very few are called. Very few want to hear, though everyone has their ears open, their eyes open. They see what's going on. Very few even care to pick up the sword. Because as you were saying, many Christians right now seem to be demasculated. They seem to be, castrated, like what we used to do to hogs. Yeah. It's interesting how to teach men how to become men again when they're so in love with themselves, with their phones, with their vacations, with their bro time, with their buddies. We do our best to try and teach straight from the Bible. And I almost never veer off of it. I just let the words of scripture tell the truth.
Amen.
It seems to be that few want to hear it. When the fighting comes, what do you expect? When someone kicks down your door, mercy? Yeah. Hey, I ain't seen you in a while, buddy. I just came here to give you a hug. No, let me tell you about a horrible thing that has happened recently. For you fathers and mothers, prepare your ears. In the Galleria Mall in Texas, this is a sign of the times. There is the word I use is amphibian, because if I use another word, I'll probably get banned from YouTube again. It'd be the eighth time that they've given me a strike. But seven men who don't know what sexuality they are gang raped two toddler boys in the Galleria Mall bathroom and were caught. The main perpetrator was already known as a sex offender, and the mother or parents needed a babysitter and still hit their two children in the arms of this madman.
Wow.
He's in his 20s. He's in his 20s acting like this. What you need to understand is that you will have a whole nation of deprived people. Mm-hmm. We had Ted Bundy before the lights went out. We had Hitler while there were still militaries that could take him down. We had horrific people do horrific things while good people could still do something about it. But when the good people stop fighting the evil, don't complain. Because there'll be some of us, Pastor, that I fear, like the Armenians right now, that are being chased through the mountainside. Another genocide going on. Again, Azerbaijan's chasing Armenian Christians over 100,000 of them fled their entire villages, cities, homes, and are killing them, chasing them up mountains into the winter. And they only have what they have in God. That's right. It. How many people right now are ready in America for that? I mean, everybody complains about tribulation, rapture. Are you ready today? And I think very few can answer that call.
Well, you talk about those litany of men. As you said that I spoke about Schwarzkopf and the desert sand in 91. George Bush won, was the president. Schwarzkopf wanted to take him out. Bush won, said no. It would be a decade later, we had 9/11. That gave George Bush II the right to go in there and go into Iraq and start another war. Again, by design, because these people are evil. They have a futuristic plan that brings us all the way to the Battle of Armageddon and the second advent of Christ. I suppose because of the power of deception, they think they're going to win, but they're not. We know that because the word of God has told us he will make short work of them. And one day he will slay them with the breath of his mouth, with the sword of his spirit. This is by design. And they're bringing us to a place right now. And what we're doing, we're raising a generation of kids that have no concept, no knowledge of God. That's in Judges 2:10 says, and there rose another generation after them who knew not the Lord. You know this, Brother Doug. There's a lot of young people out there who have no concept of God. God is not even, I call it God consciousness. There's not an awareness there is a God. There's an awareness, I can't lie, I can't cheat, I can't smoke dope, I can't shoot dope, I can't fornicate. They don't have that boundary or perimeter in their lives anymore because they don't know anything about God in conviction. I am so grateful and thankful that I know God. And even though as a teenager, I backslid and got away from God and I got heavily into drugs and alcohol and all that kind of sordid mess, but God in his mercy saw fit to bring me back. And I know the devastation of sin. I know how it wreaks havoc on everything. So I preach. I come from a broken home. All my siblings have broken marriages. I saw what sin does, and I try to be a deterrent. I try to say, stop, don't do that. You have no idea what that'll cost you if you keep going that way. People don't realize how fast we're headed to destruction because of a lack of having God in our lives. God is life. God is the author of life. He said, I want you to have life and have it more abundantly. Is America having abundant life? No, we're having a destructive, a deteriorating life. I had a dream probably close to a year ago where there was a disease that came across the border. I saw the sore. It was putrid. It was full of pus and watery, and the sore could be moved on the flesh. I don't know what that was, but I knew in my spirit we didn't have a cure for it. There was nothing we had to fix that. Don't know what that is. Don't know what it could be. Biological, of course. But the point is, I dreamed something crossed the border and we had nothing to fix it. So what does that mean? We're going to need divine intervention to keep us, the redeemed, from all of these bad things happening to us. This is why it's important to live right, to come before God's throne and say, Lord, I know I'm not perfect. My hands are clean, though. My heart is pure, Lord. Help me in this trouble. Psalms 108, verse 12, David said, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Doug, we're coming to a point where man ain't going to be able to do us any good. We're going to have divine intervention. We're going to have God to come in with his power and his might and his strength to help us get through this time.
Absolutely. You
know, it's not going to be easy.
But before that, there's a false help, a false divine intervention, the Antichrist. Can you tell people about the Antichrist, what his kingdom looks like, and are we close to it?
Oh, absolutely. It is a kingdom that is based on utter deception. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth. God says, if you won't receive the truth, I'm going to suffer you to receive the lies, the deception, and the lying wonders of the Antichrist. This man, he's going to be so, quote unquote, genius, so courteous. He comes in as a man of peace, Daniel says. But underneath that veneer, it's war. It is massacre. It is bloodshed. That's the deception. Every one of Satan's victories is based upon deception. Had Eve known the truth, she would have not partaken of the fruit. But he lied. The Antichrist will lie. He will say, I'm going to make sure Israel has protection. That's why the Bible said there in Daniel 9:27, he confirms the covenant with many for 1 week. He doesn't make a covenant with Israel. The Bible said he confirms the covenant. A confirmation is a secondary action of something that's already been done. So I'm coming to see you. When I get there, I'm going to book a motel. I go to the motel and I say to the lady, or I call, I'm not there yet. I call on the phone. I want to book a room. Here's my credit card number. And she said, here's your confirmation number. I have a confirmation number, which is a secondary action of something that's already been done. I've got the room. So the Antichrist is going to confirm, which is a secondary action of something that's already taken place, that he'll protect Israel. And I believe he will be cohorts with all the Arabic nations over there and say, we're going to work this out. There's going to be peace. That's your peace and safety. Then sudden destruction, because it's all a veneer to get Israel into a place where they're going to be trapped. I've said this for years. Israel will never lose a war until the revelation of the Antichrist, and they will lose then. And that's why the Bible said they'll cry out for Messiah to deliver them. And in that day, he will. But they'll be all but ruined, according to Zechariah chapter 12. The houses will be rifled. The women will be ravaged or raped. Everything will be plundered. Half of Jerusalem will be taken. And at that point, when Israel's just about to be lost as a nation, Jesus will come back. That's how tenuous and how thin it's going to be. Because they'll take all of that for them to admit and confess Jesus was the Messiah at his first coming. That's been right over there. I've talked to those Israelites. You know, I remember at the Western Wall, I've been down there like everybody else praying. And a man from the tribe of Levi walked up to me and he said, where are you from? I said, United States. He said, what state? I said, North Carolina. He said, let me give you a tour. And you see it on television, the Western Wall, but over to your left, there's a huge arch. You hardly ever see that on television. But if you go in there, it's full of rabbis, and they're in there praying, and they're reading the Old Testament, et cetera, et cetera. So he gives me this tour. He shows me some Psalms, scrolls. I quote a few verses that I know what Psalm says. I quoted half a dozen passages of scripture. We come back out into the courtyard, outer court of the Western Wall. He asked me, could he pray with me? I said, sure. He prayed something in Hebrew. I have no idea what he prayed. He walked off. I walked off. And I said, Lord, how is it I feel such a kindredness with these people? I said, yet they don't believe that Jesus is your son. And the Holy Spirit said, it's because you have the same father. They believe in the father. They don't believe in the son. You and I believe in both the father and the son and the Holy Spirit. And it just struck a chord with me. Oh, it makes sense now why I can embrace them and have a kindredness, because they believe in the Father, Elohim, but they don't believe in Jehovah the Son. And I talked to them about the New Testament. They say, oh, the New Testament, it's just a history book. True, but it's a history book. There's no validity to it because they're blind. They're deceived. They don't believe. But one day that blindness will come off of them. Romans 11, 25, blindness in part has happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, until it's removed. So until is a big word. Until tells you once that we get to that point, now something's going to change. We will record this program until we're finished. And after that, you're going to go do something. I'm going to go do something. So the until, Isaiah saw the blindness, but Paul was seeing the duration. Blindness in part has happened until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. So when God is reached the point of dealing with the Gentile nations, all his love, affection, and dealings will turn back to Israel in the Middle East in those last 3.5 years. So every day we're getting just another day closer to all of these events coming to fruition. And I want to say thank you for what you're doing and trying to encourage people. The warrior priest, Exodus 15:3, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. When he comes back on that great white stallion, he's coming as a man of war, not as peace. He's going to cut asunder. And also, people don't realize this. In the millennial reign of Christ, he's going to rule with a rod of iron. He will slay men with the breath of his mouth. You commit a sin worthy of death. Now, whether he does it himself or he has angels to do executions, I don't know. But the spirit of death, the entity of death, will be throughout the millennial reign because it's the last enemy to be destroyed at the end of the millennial reign before we go into eternity. And that's what John talked about, the second death. And then death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. So death will be in the earth through the millennial reign. And there sadly will be people who will die. And they'll die through different judgments, whatever. Zechariah 14 teaches us. If you don't go to Jerusalem and celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus says, I'm going to send rain or send famine, drought, and plague on your nation. That's so that people will seek to live right and do right. Though he will be here, all men will not live right. We're in one of the most greatest, amazing times ever. And this is why I'm being a Christian right now. It's more than a life of spirituality. It is fun. Now that sounds crazy, but I'm on the winning team. I'm on the winning side. I've read the book. I know how it's going to unfold. All I got to do is keep my eyes on the cross and keep serving the Lord. And in the end, we all want to hear that word of praise, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what we're looking for.
Amen. It's amazing to see prophecy being fulfilled. As someone who was once a literal pagan, and to now be blessed to be within in the bosom of Christ, I see the world very different. Very different.
Oh yeah.
And I see many Christians who, just like the Jews, they're gonna miss him coming.
Yes.
The Jews missed him when he came. Christians are gonna miss him when he comes back. And people are gonna cry out, why is it so bad? You didn't have your eyes there. You weren't looking for them.
I call them professors and not possessors. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. You have a lot of people profess Christ. Had a lady call the other day, and in the phone conversation, my wife picked up. She was living with her boyfriend, and her boyfriend wanted to talk to me about the scriptures because his girlfriend says her boyfriend he's just very smart, intelligent with the scriptures. And she asked my wife, would I talk to him? Well, in the conversation, my wife found out they were living together. And the lady says, yeah, we're shacking up. There's nothing wrong with that. My wife said, oh, if my husband talks to him, he won't talk about the scriptures or the prophecy. He's going to talk about his soul because he's lost. And she said, well, there's nothing in the Bible that addresses shacking up. But see, she doesn't know the Bible, but in Romans 13:13, Paul said chambering and wantonness. That word chambering in the Greek, look it up when we get through with this program. Look up the word chambering. It means to cohabitate, to have sex on a couch. Even the word sperm is there. It's shacking up. But because they don't know the scriptures, they say, oh, God doesn't address that. Well, he does. in the term of fornication, sex outside of marriage. But see, people don't like it that straight and that narrow. But Jesus said, it is straight, it is narrow, and few there be that find it. Listen, there's not going to be a lot of people saved in the end, brother, because it's too straight. He said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. And that is an analogy. It late at night, there were places cut in the walls of Jerusalem, and the camel would have to get down on its knees to get through the wall. That's why it's called the eye of the needle. And the camel would go through that eye, but it was so hard. That was so they couldn't be attacked by enemies, just easily run over. This was by design. Over there in the Middle East, we call them a loophole. We think about that as a legal term, but when they built those cities, they would have an entrance and then a 90-degree turn. That is a loophole, and then they had the little cutouts like your eye, except long ways, so the bow and arrow guys could shoot arrows from there and hit those people when they had to make that 90-degree turn. Loophole. It was designed for a military purpose. So we have the scriptures, we have the word of God, like you, man, pagan, heathen, and God redeems you, and now your eyes are opened, and you see things now, not through your mind, but you see things through the Holy Spirit, the lens of the word of God, the lens of the Holy Spirit, the lens of God himself, and your perspective is changed. See, when you see things from his perspective, that changes how you look at things now. So that's why it's important to get the word in us. It gives us a different perspective.
Yeah, if I had a time machine, where I would go back and probably beat the crap out of myself a couple times. But, you know, the best thing that we can do is to continue to preach the word of God, to warn the people, to include those who've already been baptized, to continue to warn them. You know, you can't keep walking in and out of your faith and backsliding and going back and forth from sinning. And the next day saying, I'll pray about that. I think one of the greatest deceits that Satan ever did on Christians was he somewhere made Christians believe that you can always repent tomorrow. That's right. Tomorrow. Don't worry about that. Go have fun today. You can repent about that tonight, tomorrow. But as you said, that God conscience, you know, when you get that sixth sense, as people used to say, the Holy Ghost is saying, hey, you better stop doing that. These are things that would be going to be counted against you. Hey, remember the time you did this and I told you don't do it? Why didn't you? I know my list is about a billion miles long, and I know I'm not ready to account for those things, but we all will, every single one of us. And so thank you for, you know, continuing to preach to people. You're one of very few men that are out there that are telling it like it is, regardless if you like it or not. And that is the way God's word is. I mean, God is much harsher than what you and I have stated. Much harsher. There's no wiggle room. You and I have wiggle room because we're carnal creatures. You can at some point in time, if you sweet talk me enough, make me agree, okay, one more ice cream is all right, right? But in the Lord's world, there is no wiggle room. And that's terrifying. When I think about my friends who claim to be saved, and then I watch their actions, I watch how they treat their children, themselves, and others, how they drink, how they do all this stuff, that it saddens me that the lateness of the hour and people are more worried about singing a song in church than going out and begging men and women, repent. Amen. And be saved. And yet people want to go to a church and go to a rock show. You know, it is torturously sad. And my wife and I, when we pray about these things, you know, we deal with a lot of this stuff that's going on because we see it in our generation. And we just know that this next generation that's coming, What have they been raised by? The Obamanites. That's all they know. They know nothing but wickedness. So when I was in law enforcement, one of the things that I creatively would say to people, I'm having to be the parent to your child that we arrested that you weren't. Right. So it's very important for parents to get biblical with your children and with yourselves, right? And I want to thank you for coming on and speaking with us. And if you would, could you please end us with a word of prayer?
Sure. And let me commend you immensely, because you're reaching people that I'll never reach. You have a testimony that I do not have. You're younger than I am. And I thank God for the touch of God on your life. I was once where you were, but I'm getting to be an old man now. But don't ever change and let the world persuade you or, you know, cool it down. I mean, don't be like that. Listen, I said this the other day in a television recording session. God discriminates. He says, I'm the only way. I'm the only truth. I'm the only life. People don't like it that straight, but God discriminates. He said, there's not many ways. I'm the only way. That's discrimination. You have to come by me, he said, period. And I want you to keep your convictions and your list. It'll keep getting shorter all the day, brother. As you walk with God, it just gets shorter and shorter and shorter because you're maturing. See, I'm not where I am. Where I am today, I wasn't there 30 years ago. This is a lifetime journey. And I always look at this in Acts 20. Paul said that I might finish my course with joy. He said that around 20, 25 years before he actually died. But he said to Timothy that I might finish my course with joy. When we get to 2 Timothy 4, he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. He was done. So he said, I'm now ready to be offered up. The time of my departure is at hand. So when he makes that statement in Acts 20, I saw there, he's not ready. Yet he's Paul the Apostle. He's writing epistles, but he's not where God wants him to be. But by the time we get to 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, I finished. I'm ready. So it's all a process getting to where God wants us. And then when we get there, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. So Paul was ready to go because he had fulfilled God's will. Father, we thank you today for this opportunity to share the word of God and the blessed hope of your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for giving us Doug, the call and the touch of God that's upon his life. God, make him a very powerful man of God to share the word of God with multitudes upon multitudes. And God, give him many, many converts and help him to teach those converts to become teachers for you as well. We need teachers. We need men and women that are rock solid, that are rooted and grounded in your word, where they don't oscillate or vacillate, but they stand strong, embracing the conviction and the power of your word and never wavering. I ask you, Lord, to touch everyone that's watching and listening. Father, stir their hearts with Holy Ghost conviction. Those that are the nearest to being lost, God, deal with them the earliest. Get them prepared. Get them ready. And God, as a nation, lead us into repentance and order our steps in the coming days, that no sin, that no iniquity could ever have dominion authority, neither lordship over our lives. Keep us in the hollow of your hand. Watch over our children. Protect our homes, our families, our property. Preserve our marriages. Preserve us, Lord, that we might be a light in a dark world. We ask it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Pastor, thank you for your words of wisdom. Thank you for telling us the unadulterated truth, as you like to say so much. And ladies and gentlemen, please make sure that you subscribe to the Voice of Evangelism and that you help out Pastor David Langford and all of his ministries. Guys, that's all we got. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next time. Stay frosty. Thanks, Pastor.
Thank you, Bill.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.